In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The explanation to the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, says this, that with these words, God invites us to come before Him in every need, to call upon Him as dear children come to their dear Father. God, your Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus, wants you to bring your needs before Him. And there is no need you have that is too insignificant of your Father's notice. There is nothing in heaven and earth that will keep your Heavenly Father from hearing your petitions, your supplications. Because indeed, in Christ Jesus, His ears have been opened to your cry. He who gave His Son for you will readily give you all things for your benefit, for your soul's well-being, to keep you firm in the faith and bring you to the day of resurrection when Christ returns again. However, there are those times when God seems to be distant from us. There are those times when the heavens seem to be covered up by a lead firmament of some kind, and our cries seem to bounce off that firmament and not penetrate, not reach God. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew this in one sense. There on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? During the space of 3 hours as he was bearing the sins of the world, he experienced that absence of God, that forsakenness by God. He was forsaken for you as he was bearing the sins of the whole world for you. He was forsaken by God, and God seemed to ignore his cry so that God would never forsake you, so that you can be sure your cries of faith reach your Heavenly Father's ears. The Canaanite woman in today's gospel reading experienced what it was like to have an indifferent God as she brought to him her petitions, her supplications. She had a daughter who was severely oppressed by a demon, and Matthew just leaves it to our imagination to paint in the picture of what this daughter suffered and what this mother suffered as the issue of her flesh was tormented in all kinds of horrible ways, tormented by the one who is a liar and a murderer and a thief from the beginning. This woman was a Canaanite, as I said, and the Canaanites were the ancient enemy of God's people Israel. The Canaanites were the worst kind of idolaters. The Canaanites offered their babies in sacrifice to their false gods. Again, they were the enemy of Israel. They were not of Israel. They were not Jews. And yet here comes this woman when Jesus is proceeding along the border of Gentile territory. Here comes this woman and cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." She addresses Jesus in messianic terms. She calls him Lord. She calls him Son of David. Apparently, these descriptions, these Jewish descriptions and names that were applied to the coming Messiah, she had become familiar with. She had apparently heard tales of Jesus' power over demons, of Jesus' power over sickness, over blindness, even over death. And she had a daughter, the daughter of her heart, who needed deliverance from the devil. Maybe this daughter was just a teenager. Anyway, no, she wasn't just a teenager. She was bound, captive, by the enemy of the human race. She pleads for her daughter. She continues to cry out. That was crying means it wasn't just once she asked this, over and over again. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And indeed, here in the Christian church, that is our cry. We did it in the Kyrie today. O Lord, have mercy, as we prayed for the well-being of this congregation, as we prayed for the people of God everywhere in the world, as we prayed for the peace of the world. Lord, have mercy is the cry of the church. I had lunch with Randy Moose. I'm not going to pick on you. Earlier this past week, and we were talking how Lord have mercy is a wonderful prayer when you know not what else to pray. Lord have mercy. Help, Lord, Luther says. God protect us, Luther says. These are all prayers that the Christian prays to a merciful God. You don't need to pile up an abundance of words before God will hear you. You don't need to bend his ears, although sometimes it may seem that way, as this woman experienced. But crying out to the Lord for mercy is what the Christian does. Again, even when it seems that God doesn't hear our prayers. O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Over and over again, but Jesus did not answer her a word. He did not even deign to notice her. He walked on, his eyes focused on Jerusalem, where he would die on the cross for the world's sins. The woman kept on pleading, crying out, begging him. And the disciples got tired of it. I don't think, if you read in the context of Matthew and in St. Mark's gospel, that they had pity on her when our Lord didn't. They were fed up with her. Lord, send her away, for she is crying out after us. She's creating a commotion. She's drawing attention to us. And Lord, you came here to withdraw from the crowds. You came here to rest. Send her away. She is crying out after us. Well, Jesus responds, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I wasn't sent for Gentiles. I was sent for the Jewish people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, the woman is rebuffed. She knows that she is not a Jew. Now, Jesus did interact with Gentiles. The centurion who had the sick servant, the dying servant, in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus gave him what he wished. Jesus says, never have I seen such faith in all of Israel. But the ministry to the Gentiles would come later. It would come after Christ's resurrection and ascension, when he told the disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and Galilee and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. That would be when the Gentiles were gathered in to become one with God's people, Israel. But for now, Jesus was focused on the cross. I was sent only to the house of Israel. Again, another rebuff. But the woman came and knelt before him. She prostrated herself. She assumed a position of worship before one she knew was superior to her. She may not have had the full understanding that this man was God in the flesh, but she did show an attitude, assume an attitude of worship. And again she said, "Lord, help me." This is nice, what Jesus says to her. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, the children he refers to are the children of the house of Israel. And dogs was a Jewish slur for Gentiles. Again, Jesus seems to be saying, "Hey, I can't help you. That's not what God would have me do." But look at this woman. She has, in effect, been wrestling with God as Jacob did with the angel of the Lord in today's Old Testament reading. She persisted. She would not take no for an answer. So she responded, "Yes, Lord, you're right. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I am a Gentile. Yes, Lord, I perfectly understand, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She did not demand. In humility, she asked, and she looked to him in faith, knowing that he, the Lord, the Son of David, would somehow listen to her and do what she asked. So it is with you and me. God is merciful. And this the love of God is known, and this the mercy of God is set forth, that he sent his Son into our flesh to deliver us from sin and from eternal death, to restore us and reconcile us to himself, to ultimately one day raise our bodies from the dust and make them new, where we will have no need to call upon the Lord in prayer to grant us healing for any of the ills of the body we experience in this present life. Instead, we will praise God. We will sing the Te Deum to him for all eternity, for all the mercies he has shown us in this world, especially the mercy of sending his Son Christ as our Savior. Jesus answered the woman, "O woman, great is your faith." How great your faith is. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus spoke not a word to this woman at first, but the tales, the word of this Jesus of Nazareth, a mighty wonder worker, one who had compassion on the people, had reached this woman and had awakened faith in her, just as the word of God does for you, whether it be the proclaimed word or that visible word united to the waters of your baptism. O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And from a distance, her daughter was healed instantly. Instantly, the demon was gone. I can imagine the reunion when the woman rushed home and there was her daughter and she took her up in her arms and all that kind of stuff. And what does this have to do with you and me? Well, we are commanded to persist in prayer. Jesus tells the parable of the widow and the unrighteous judge to drive home that very point. But know this, that even when God seems distant from you, even when he seems not to care for you, he does. He loves you. And he doesn't feed you with the crumbs that fall from his table. He feeds you with the bounty of his word, the word by which we live. We don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he feeds you today, not with crumbs that fall from the master's table. He feeds you with the master's very body and very blood for the forgiveness of sins. You don't have to go scrabbling around in front of the altar to find a crumb of bread or maybe a drop of wine that fell to the floor. No, Jesus says, take and eat. Here's not a crumb for you. Here's my body given for you. Here's not the merest, most minuscule drop of wine. This is my blood that has been shed for you, my blood that has redeemed you from all of your sins, my blood that has washed you and cleansed you in the eyes of your heavenly Father. Jesus doesn't give you just crumbs. He gives you himself. And he, the one who experienced that separation from God on the cross, promises to be with you when it seems that God doesn't hear, that God doesn't care. Well, balderdash, God gave his son for you. You are baptized into Christ Jesus. God has inscribed his triune name on your head, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You do belong to God. You do have a Father who cares. You do have a Father who exercises you in the faith and who, when he seems to be absent, is enabling you by his word and his sacrament, by the gospel, to grow in your faith. In Missouri, there was a woman in our congregation who did crafts, and she sold them at craft shows, obviously. And she had a plaque that she gave my family and me. And on the plaque was written these words: faith is not knowing that God can. Faith is knowing that he will. And I didn't tell her this, but I said, no, faith is knowing that God will, even when it seems he won't. Again, the guarantee, your baptism, the guarantee, Christ, his cross, his resurrection and ascension, the guarantee, his holy saving word, the guarantee, his body, his blood for you. Again, God doesn't offer you the crumbs of his attention. His ears are wide open to you. And thanks be to God that that is the kind of God we have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.